Totally Hockey at the IIHF 2019 Ice Hockey World Championship, Day 12. It's the final day of the group stage of this year's World Championship, and joining us here, after a breathless game between Russia and Sweden, are Tessa Bonhomme of TSN.
Thank you for having me again.
No, Tessa, thank you for coming again. And thank you, Thomas Prokop of Daily Sport Slovakia, for being with us once more, too.
Thank you.
There's no question really what the big story is today. We'll go through the scores of day 12 in a second or two, but we've just witnessed some awesome destructive power in a red jersey.
Too, I don't think many people's surprise, but, I thought ahead of the Russia-Sweden game, I was like, this is either going to be a really good game or this is going to be a dud. And unfortunately, it was the latter.
There were some pretty exciting things to see, but we'll come on to the details of that in a bit. We'll also be looking at some of the other key moments of this final day and perhaps one or two of the key moments of this group stage of the World Championship. But let's just get a quick check then on the scores on day 12. Koshidze, Eins Fei, Dreisaitl, Leon the star as Germany beat Finland 4-2. Slovakia signed off with a shootout win over Denmark. And in the big North American showdown, it was Yes We Canuck as Canada beat USA 3-0.
Turris drops it back. Shot score! Jared McCann!
In Bratislava, Czech Republic v Switzerland, Frick quick to open the Swiss account, but they didn't save enough to cope with the big Czechs. 5-4 it finished. Latvia sealed fifth place, beating Norway, and Ovechkin, Malkin, Anisimov, and an easy win for the Red Machine.
Удобная передача вперед. Но вдвоем мы накрываем и забираем и забиваем. Григоренко 5-1.
Russia beating Sweden 7-4 with six unanswered goals in the second period. And that means that the quarterfinals of the 2019 World Championship are Canada-Switzerland and Finland-Sweden in Košice. And in Bratislava, the Czech Republic against Germany and Russia, USA. Remember, you can check out highlights and more on the IIHF app, and goals as they go in are available on all the IIHF social channels, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Let's begin then by going big on Sweden-Russia. Russia, an extraordinary performance, particularly in the second period, in which they came out a goal down and ended up 6-1 up.
Kucherov in for Gusev, cross ice score. Dadanov dishes it off. Sergachev from the line, score. Here comes Malkin. He'll drop it for Ovechkin. Scores.
Let's hear from Russia's Evgeny Dadanov and from Sweden, Gabriel Landeskog.
Can you just tell me about that second period? It was an extraordinary thing to watch.
You know, it just happens. You know, like, it wasn't like good first, and then we talk about it in the locker room after, and then just push. So, like, you know, we score a couple, and we just like start scoring. You know, it can be like every night like this, but it's happened this time. It's good.
Last time you won all seven of your group games, you went on to take gold. From the outside, it's hard to spot a weakness in this team.
Probably weakness, like, it's ourselves, you know. We gotta stay concentrated all 60 minutes.
And the USA, it's a great quarterfinal.
Yeah, it's gonna be a good game, for sure.
Can you just tell us about what happened in that second period?
Yeah, we started getting really sloppy with the puck. Guys started turning away from different situations, and all of a sudden you leave Malkin, Kucherov, Ovechkin, Kovalchuk, guys like that coming into the slot with absolutely nobody around them. All of a sudden they're going to score. So I feel bad for Jacob back in the net. I mean, he came in with it. We had a really good first period, and then the second we just left him out to dry, and it wasn't even nearly good enough. You know, so for us, we're going to make sure we watch the video and see what we can do better, and then we're going to move on. It's not much bigger than that.
Okay, and hopefully meet them again for a bit of revenge later on.
Yeah, that'd be nice. We'd be ready for that.
A period of hockey there that I feel people may be talking about for a long time, Tessa.
No one in Sweden will be, I don't think. For them, not much to talk about. I felt like it was a Jekyll and Hyde for them. In that first period, Sweden was very knees over toes is what I call it. Aggressive. They were playing confident. They were on the attack. And then in that second period, it felt like Russia came out with a little bit extra gear, and it felt like Sweden had sat back a little bit. All of a sudden, they were on their heels. I also felt that with a team as offensively talented as Russia, to give up that many odd man rushes, you're just asking for it. And for whatever reason, they were making such bad choices on a line change, such bad choices on pinching, on where they're throwing the puck, on when their defensemen were jumping. It was just a complete disconnect, and I mean, I'll call it a brain fart, if you will, on their part in that second period. And it was a slow unraveling, and you saw it happen, and it was just like, oh no, you guys, come on. But I mean, they're going to go back and watch this video and realize that, you know, these are all things that are fixable, but you also have to give credit to Russia for coming out and putting on that beautiful display.
It was a Jekyll and Hyde performance from Sweden, Hyde and Jekyll, if you will, from Russia, who didn't have anything like that kind of aggression to them in the first period. They were, I think, comfortably outshot by Sweden in the first period. By the end of the second, the Swedes, who'd been a goal up at the break, were staring at the monitor trying to work out how the score had come to a big fat six for Russia. They were assassins.
Oliver Ekman-Larsson said that the first period was the best of for them in the group. But I think that I hope that this slap to the face can help Sweden, because when you watch yesterday game with the Latvian, there was maybe the similar game, but Latvian doesn't have so many great players. You saw in the end when the Latvian scored, if they scored a goal, and today's result was like this, Sweden are out from the tournament. Mm. And Russia showed their big power. It was great. And I think Tessa said that a lot of things were bad, the line changings and this kind of thing. But Markström, the goalie, was so bad. I think three goals was on his side. Sweden looked like Norway in the second period. But I am still wondering. I was speaking with my colleagues that if somebody can stop this Russia team. Because when you are counting all best players from Russia, what they have, they are losing maybe two, three from the best one. Panarin isn't here, Radulov isn't here, maybe Bobrovsky, but Vasilevsky is looking so great. He's moving great, his athleticism is so excellent. Because I'm writing for all the hockey, but my passion are goalies. And I think when he won't screw up in his head, he will be the best goalie in the world. He looks awesome.
Only beaten once tonight, and that was on that redirect from Landeskog. So almost impossible for him to react fast enough to that. Russia in the second period with goals just from all across the team. Anisimov with the equalizer, then Dadonov. Ovechkin with a wonderful drop pass from Malkin, and then an unbelievable one-time finish.
Well, if you're going to give, you know, one of the best goal scorers in the NHL that kind of space in the slot and time, I want to say 98% of the time he's going to score. I mean, it took him a while to get going in this tournament. Nonetheless, you could tell in this game he was hungry. And yeah, when he walked into that slot, all I could say to myself was, uh-oh. And sure enough, by the time the O came out, the puck was in the back of the net. But just to piggyback off of what you said, Vasilevsky was fantastic. I'm not sure what Sweden was thinking after that first period, because, you know, even in the third, obviously they scored goals, but to beat Russia, yes, okay, you can get by their forwards, but then you got to get by a fantastic goaltender. And if you have five great chances, you're lucky if you score on one of them with this guy. And he's showing, like you said, that he does have the athletic ability and the goaltending ability to be the top goalie in the world. And I mean, just sucks for everyone else that they have to beat a really good team and then beat a fantastic goaltender to even try and have a chance, even get a sniff at winning. So
he's like the end of level boss.
Yeah, totally.
So how significant, how valuable is it for Sweden's hopes of kind of picking themselves up that they did manage to score again in the third period? They did manage to make the scoreline more respectable. 7-4 it finishing.
I mean, I feel like Russia took their foot off the gas pedal a little bit. And I mean, I don't want to take anything away from the goals that Sweden scored, because they still count. But I mean, even on them, they weren't even really celebrating. You could tell it was kind of like, okay, well, let's just get this over with and carry on. But yeah, I mean, at least you stuck with it. There's that in the locker room. There was no quit. There was still offensive flair. They were still trying to, I mean, I think it's still good in a game like that to be able to get your looks at a goaltender and to be able to, I think that helps in terms of getting in a goalie's head a little bit, especially the Ekman-Larsson goal there, where it was like a chintzy little backhand on net and it squeaked through Vassy and he kind of stepped over him in the slot and battled for it and put it home. I mean, if I was a goaltender, that would really make me upset. I'm not nowhere near a good goaltender, but I feel like little things like that are long-term wins if you ever face them again.
Tessa, have you ever been on the wrong end of a period like that? And if so, how easy was it for you and your team to come back?
We actually, in 2012, Burlington, Vermont World Championship, it was the first year they ever had Canada and USA play off in the round robin. And I think we lost 9-3, and it was 5-0 or 5-1 after the first like 10 minutes or something. We were just getting spanked, and we couldn't stop the bleeding. It was a moment where we were all looking around at each other like, what is going on here? Like, we are way better than this. And, you know, we're looking back at our goalie like, sorry, you know, we're not doing much to help you. And lo and behold, we ended up beating them in the final. We learned our lesson. It was a good loss to take because it made all of us really look in the mirror, because it wasn't just one line playing bad. It wasn't a goalie having a bad game. It was all of us absolutely stinking. And it was a rude awakening. And it was a moment for the team to say, okay, yeah, we're Team Canada. We like to, you know, sing our own praises and trot around like we're one of the best in the world. But that day we were not. I felt like anybody could have beaten us in that game. And I mean, I feel like you learn a lot from these losses, but it's just a matter of, do you have the personnel? Do you have the coaching staff? Do you have the goaltender, the proper goaltender that's playing hot and playing good to be able to make that turnaround and change, you know, the outcome of a game if and when it does happen again?
Do they, Thomas?
I saw two things. Tessa said it was right that Russia take the food from the gas, but it's still good when you win a period 3-1 and they didn't score you 10 goals. And the second thing is, it's very tough win tournament like this without the lose or without some tie game. And Russia is the whole group, they're playing like the nothing can happen. They can play when they won 3-0, when they won 3-1, when they won the big time. I still think that Sweden, when they get up and they can play better, and they can beat them in the finals or something like that. This will be very interesting game with Finland. They are the rivals, but this Finnish team, I think, are now going down. It's better for the Sweden that they are playing against the Finland, like maybe against some of the overseas nation teams.
Okay. Finland, who were beaten today 4-2 by Germany, as we mentioned before, will be taking on Sweden, while Russia have the pleasure of a game with the USA, who did not have a good night in Košice. We'll speak about that next.
You're listening to the Totally Ice Hockey Show with James Richardson.
Joining us now on the line from Košice is Corey Masisak, writing with The Athletic, who was there at the game this evening. Corey, first of all, was that Canada's best game so far?
I think so. I think maybe the last two or three that have sort of started to look like what we kind of have come to expect Canada to look like. But, I mean, that was a pretty big test against one of the better, at least in terms of talent, one of the better teams the U.S. has sent to this tournament in a while. And, you know, they made a couple of very, very nice plays early and then just sort of suffocated them the rest of the way.
Yeah. The first goal coming barely a couple of minutes into the game. Stone, I think, robbing the puck and then feeding Dubois. And then another turnover to set up the second goal from the, to this point, ever excellent Anthony Mantha.
Yeah, they, you know what, the United States, they had some really good chances in the first few minutes and again later in the first period, but their biggest issues were in their own zone. They, a couple of bad turnovers, the first one that, you know, that led to Stone's goal, and that was just, I mean, it was a wonderful play by Mark Stone. He just, you know, made the pass just at exactly the right time. He caught Corey Schneider looking the wrong way. But yeah, no, I think Anthony Mantha has probably been, you know, one of the breakout stars of this whole tournament, and he just, you know, picked James Van Riemsdyk's pocket and, you know, went the other way to start the 2-on-1, and Schneider didn't have much of a chance on that goal either.
Mantha with 12 points so far in this World Championship, 7 goals, 5 assists. He then picked up a 2-minute penalty and a 10-game misconduct for a shoulder to the head on Colin White.
If you look back at it, that might have been the sort of an opening there for the United States to get back into the game with the power play. But, you know, I think they had 2 or 3 power plays the whole game, and there wasn't a whole lot going on. They, you know, like I said, this is one of the better teams the United States has sent. There's a lot of high-end talent and, you know, high draft picks on the team, and they just haven't, they had a couple of games where they looked really good, but this one was not one of them.
Also not looking good, poor Dylan Larkin. How is he? What are his prospects of being back for the quarterfinals after receiving a high-speed puck to the nether regions?
Yeah, you know what? The coach didn't say exactly after the game, but you know it was a kind of a scary. I mean, at first, it was just like, oh, well, you know, he got hit and got the wind knocked out of him. But he was he was down on the bench, like kind of laying on the bench for a while. I think it might have just been they didn't know exactly how to get him off the ice or where he needed to go to get off the ice at first. But yeah, he did not come back. And, you know, that would be, you know, they're facing Goliath. The team that looks like Goliath in this tournament anyway in 2 days. So they will certainly need him.
As you say, Russia coming up for the USA on Thursday. You imagine they'll need to find something that they've not really shown so far. Maybe glimpses of the kind of play they'll need to stop Russia. But where do you think they might find that extra gear from?
Well, I mean, you know, I think one thing is that maybe we've seen this before where Russia just looks like the best team in the world on certain days, and then it just doesn't happen for them on other days. But, you know, they've been amazing. I mean, I think the biggest thing for the United States is they can't have those mistakes in their, in, you know, right around the goals. Like, there was probably two more of them in the first period where, you know, if Corey Schneider hadn't made a good save or somebody hadn't gotten back, it might have even been 3-0 or 4-0. But they've got the sort of the star power to match with Russia, but they certainly haven't played to that level yet.
Tessa, is there anything you wanted to say about Canada beating the USA 3-0 this evening?
I just agree with what he said, the fact that, you know, Canada's game has been a slow rise, but nonetheless, I feel like they're peaking at the right time. Their top players are playing like their top players. Yeah, I mean, what Canadian ever is going to complain about a win over Team USA in any sport? I mean, it could be checkers, and I'll celebrate that.
Canada's look great. They don't have so many stars, but they play like a team. This is, the main reason why they won with the USA so easy, because I was looking at the game, and I was... they can beat them 5-0 or something like that. USA is big disappointment for me, and will be the very big game for them against Russia, because before the tournament, Patrick Kane and all the stars said that they come for the gold, and when they lose with the Russia, they can be on the 7th or 8th place, and it can be very big disappointment, this tournament, for them.
As for Canada, you get the Swiss.
Yep, which is also terrifying. So the Swiss always play the Canadians very hard. Doesn't matter when it is, this year, last year, the year prior at the Olympics in 2010. For whatever reason, Switzerland is a good matchup for Canada. And, you know, they always have us sweating. They always have us working harder than we want to work. But whatever it is, it's a good matchup for Switzerland. I feel like, especially this year, we've talked about it. Everybody's harped on it all tournament long. Their defensive play is so structured. They're so disciplined. And the fact that I feel like they've got this no quit all over the ice. It's not just in the offensive zone. It's in the D zone. It's in the neutral zone. With the Canadian side, like any team, any human being, Switzerland does have their hiccups. And you got to make sure that you capitalize on them, because the last thing you want is to run into a team that's gaining confidence as the game's going on in their D zone, and a goaltender that is slowly becoming more and more hot as the game wears on. So for the Canadians, I think, you know, they're just going to have to strike quick. Hopefully their power play continues to roll. Hopefully Mark Stone continues to be awesome the way he has been. You see that pass that he made from behind the net in the first goal? Yeah.
And the goal, what didn't count, was great.
Yeah, the high stick.
The high stick.
Yeah. Was great too. So technically it was 4-0, but.
Well, let's just pause now for a word about Germany, silver medalists at last year's Olympics, bidding for a medal at this year's Worlds, and 4-2 winners today over Finland. These are boom times for German hockey, and to find out why that is, we sought out the man who many feel is behind the turnaround, Franz Reindl. Reindl was a member of the West Germany side who in 1976 earned bronze at the Winter Olympics, beating USA 4-1 in Das Wunder von Innsbruck.
Was soll man dazu sagen? Schade, schade, schade. Es ist vorbei. Die Bundesrepublik Deutschland bezwingt zwar die USA mit.
Till last year and the Olympic silver in South Korea, that was Germany's greatest ever triumph. Well, having turned the domestic league around in the 90s in Germany with the founding of the DEL, Reindl is now president of German ice hockey. He's got clubs to guarantee more space for homegrown players, and he's delighted that it's having an effect and fans don't have to talk about the 70s anymore.
I'm unbelievably proud. You know, we're talking now about silver in Pyeongchang and not bronze in Innsbruck anymore. And this is good for the future. You know, I'm very, very proud about our players and happy that they replaced somehow these old stories, so we have something new to report.
What's behind this boom in German hockey?
It's development. It's hard work, and we decided 5 years ago to create a program. It's called Power Play 26. The hockey family in Germany, we stick together, the league, the second league, all the clubs in Germany. We created this program, and we follow it. It's not just having a goal. You have to do the steps reaching the goal. And so the development of the players, with a lot more coaches we hired, with a lot more effort, with really much power and money putting in the youth program.
We've seen some of those young players coming through even this year, people like Moritz Seider. No? Who particularly stands out for you in this team?
Moritz Seider is a great example. He just turned 18, and he's a great example, but there are more. We have Marcus Eisenschmidt, we have Leon Draisaitl as a superstar, we have Cahoon, we have Holzer, Grubauer, and many artists from playing in Germany in the league. And we have a great captain with Moritz Müller. He sticks the team together, and the group is good. And the new coach we have, Tony Söderholm, he put together the right mix. You need a mix to play a tournament like this. It's really hard to play 7 games in the preliminary round, and then it starts again with the quarterfinals. And he has the feeling. He has chosen the right players, and he created the team.
Franz Reindl. Well, a big result for Germany, as we mentioned today, after their previous losses to Canada and USA, beating Finland 4-2 in Košice. Corey, can you give us a quick word on this performance?
Yeah, you know what? That was sort of it sort of kicked off the day with a bit of a surprise. You know, Finland didn't have a whole lot to play for. They were basically locked into the second spot either way. But I mean, I think that was Philip Grubauer, you know, the Colorado Avalanche goaltender, was phenomenal. I mean, I think the shots were 15-3 after the first period, and they didn't get much closer after that. I think he was named the player of the game, and certainly well deserved.
Nice to see Dominic Cahoon, after his difficult journey to reach Slovakia, having an impact.
I think one of the interesting things about this tournament is there have been a collection of, you know, there's a sort of, you have like the guys who everybody knows in the NHL who are, you know, sort of superstars, but there are guys like him who, you know, they sort of use this tournament as like an experience of like, hey, I can play with the best players in the world. And I think we're seeing that from him.
Corey Mastersack of The Athletic. A word on the Swiss, because here in Bratislava they were playing today against the Czech Republic, and it was a game in which it looked a little bit like they were being found out. They had that terrific start to the tournament. They won their first 4 games, and then they lost to Russia, to Sweden, and here to the Czech Republic. It was a very ill-disciplined game, this one. There were a couple of really sizable brawls. There were also 9 goals. The Czechs, after going a goal down, ended up 5-4 winners. Got a quick word afterwards with Czech captain Jakub Voracek, who once again put in his Lions performance, scoring the equalising goal, setting up the next 2, and then having a word with us afterwards.
I think we're playing good hockey. I think we got a little stagnant in the third period, but, you know, they didn't have anything to lose, so they opened it up and they were pushing, so we won. So that's a good thing for us. It's all about quarterfinals. It's all about quarterfinals. If you make a quarterfinals, you put yourself in a great position. We unfortunately weren't able to do that many times in the past few years, but I think we're playing good hockey. We got to prepare for Thursday.
Jakub Voracek, whose Czech team will be playing Germany in Bratislava, so they get to stay right here. But we were talking about the Swiss, and like I say, it did feel like when they come up against the bigger teams in this tournament, they're coming up short.
I feel like the Swiss like to play mind games with everybody. I think they put themselves in a proper position to make the quarterfinals, and in their locker room, the belief doesn't change that they can compete with the top nations in the world. Russia maybe this tournament. I feel like everybody's a maybe when they look at Russia, but they're not running their top 2 lines into the ground in these tournaments. They're not playing the proper goaltenders that they should be playing in these round-robin games. They're getting their team reps. They're building everyone's confidence. They're getting everyone's legs under them. They're making sure everybody knows where to be, how it's going to feel. They'll put different players in tight situations, I find, and that's the way they build through the tournament. And even, you know, in interviewing their coaches, Christian Volvan in particular, that guy loves to play mind games with other teams. And, you know, I'd asked him before their game that, you know, their power play is going to be very important moving forward. And, you know, if they could have capitalized on a couple of their chances that they had had, the game probably would have gone different ahead of the Czech game. And did you adjust anything coming into the Czech game? And he said, oh, we made so many changes, huge changes. You know, we're going to look totally different out there. And he was being coy, but that's what he does. And that's what they do. And I feel like, I'm not saying that they have the talent yet to be someone that tries to play those mind games, but nonetheless, they do. And that's just how they prepare their team moving forward. And I think their top two lines, and Roman Josi is going to continue to play 30 minutes, but I think their top two lines is going to see a lot more ice time. And I think that, you know, line matching and situational play is going to come in huge for them moving forward. So coaching will definitely take place.
They also got a fairly immediate impact from Nino Niederreiter, who just jetted in yesterday.
I think that this is the very good thing for them, that he arrived and he can score for the 4-4 and they can still play with the Czechs for the win. One thing I was disappointed in, the first half of the game, they play so bad in the defense. They have so many mistakes in the defensive side. Czechs are going 2-2-1, maybe 3 or 4 times in the first period. But then in the third period, they show their brightest side. Czechs don't move so good like in the second period and the first period, and they score 2 goals. And what Tessa said about Kennedy, and that they are maybe, I don't want to say afraid Canada, afraid of Switzerland, but they don't like to play with them because Swiss has so many grinders. These maybe have been a problem in two-day match against USA, because USA has so many skillful players and these kind of things, that they don't have so many grinders who can beat you up, who can go in front of your goalie, who can that'll take some fight is. Or something yeah. like that. Today, Rito Bera was fighting with the Czech guys. It was a lot of passion on the ice and everything like this. And Roman Josi said that he likes this kind of passion, and they can show they can play with everyone, and they can play in speed, and they can beat you up. This will be a very interesting game.
Now, the other events on day 12 involve teams saying goodbye for this year's championship, including the hosts, Slovakia, Thomas, who signed off with a victory over Denmark, which also featured a goodbye after many years to Ladislav Nagy.
Yeah, it was a big thing, and it was an emotional thing. In 2011, it was Pavel Demitra who was saying goodbye here in Bratislava. And now Ladislav Nagy say goodbye back home in Košice, because he was growing up there and he played for the team in the city. It wasn't so good game because it was last game and nobody played for, I don't know what to say, nothing. It's still World Championship, but it looked like a bad game, but it's end very well. Lacike, how we like to say his nickname or like the familiar name, scored a penalty. And it was a lot of emotions. He was circling around with his son on his arm, and guys take him on their arm. And he was a big figure for us. His career in NHL wasn't so good because he given up earlier. His career, he's played only something like 400 games and he scored 300 points, and then he goes for the money in Russia. But he was playing great seasons on the big tournaments. I didn't maybe remember the bad World Championship or bad Olympic Games from his side.
Okay, he's about to turn 40. And
yeah, he will be 40 in the 1st of the June.
Speaking of emotional moments, you mentioned Pavel Demitra. There was a moment when a chant went up around the stadium there in Košice for the former Slovak captain who lost in that air crash, that terrible air crash, back in 2011.
Yeah. And a big thing was in the 38th minute of the game, everybody's standing up and start shouting and screaming his name. In his hometown, in Trenčín, it's in our league, every game, in the 38th minute, everybody's standing up and shouting his name. He's the he's the one of the biggest thing. And now I was so surprised that they did it in the Košice, and it was so emotional.
So that's it for Slovakia for this tournament. It was a shame that you didn't make it to the playoff stages. Apart from that, are you happy with how it went for Slovakia?
Yeah, I'm happy, and we are disappointed that our team didn't get to quarterfinals, but still I see bright future, because when you take out the Latsonagi, you have our players was something like 24 or 25 years average. They show speed, they show skills, they show that they can play with everyone. I think the game with Canada was so good, and now we see how is Canada really strong, and they can go for four medals. I'm not disappointed. I am disappointed from the result of the quarterfinals, but our game looked like very good.
Also waving goodbye today, Norway and Latvia. Latvia, who claimed fifth place and never got blown away in any of their games. So very commendable stuff from them. We'll be seeing them in Switzerland next spring. Those are the quarterfinals then. Russia against USA, Czech Republic against Germany, and Canada, Switzerland, and Finland, Sweden. Wednesday is a rest day, but not for everyone, Tessa.
Nope.
You are going to be hosting the Champions League of Hockey draw.
Champions Hockey League group stage draw will take place for the 2019-2020 season. So the top 32 European teams will find out who they're going to face in August for the first round, which is going to be pretty cool. We'll have four pots, eight teams in each pot. They'll all be drawn, and so they'll figure out who they're going to go head-to-head with, which is kind of fun. I mean, Frölunda won last year, second time in three seasons. So, I mean, they've got to be favorites coming in. And, for this year, Finnish teams were reduced by one and the Swiss teams were increased by one based on world rankings. And, it's always a good time. I mean, it's quick and easy.
Do you get to put your hand in yourself?
I unfortunately don't.
Oh.
I know. There's four other people that get to do it. I'm not important enough. But all the time during the dress rehearsals and the run-through, I'll always get my hand in there and pull out one of the pucks. They're kind of cool. It's neat. They're pucks. They throw them in a pot and they pick out the pucks.
Right.
But I always wanted to take part in a draw that had the bingo balls that are blowing around.
Yeah.
I like those.
Okay, we'll see what we can do, Tessa.
Yeah, maybe next year.
Have a great time with that.
Thank you.
If you, by the way, listener, are just wondering what you're going to do without any hockey on rest day Wednesday, the extraordinary news is we've got a special extra show for you featuring Lucas Aykroyd and one of the most influential hockey players of the last 50 years,
Jagr.
I would venture.
Jaromir Jagr.
No, unfortunately not. Another of them. It's actually Igor Larionov.
Oh.
Who joins us. We'll have a bit of a chat about his extraordinary life, and Lucas will wax eloquent about his impact on the game, both on and off the ice. So that should be with you same time as usual tomorrow. In the meantime, don't forget to lovingly rate and review the show on iTunes and share and subscribe, and do download the IIHF app if you haven't already. So many thanks to you, Tessa and Thomas, for being with us today. Hope you have a super time on your day off, Thomas. And listener, we'll catch up with you soon.
The Totally Ice Hockey Show is a Muddy Knees Media production in association with Infront.